Welcome to Life List, a birding podcast.
In the early part of 2024, I had the opportunity to guide three different India tours for Hillstar Nature. One was to Western India, to the state of Gujarat. There we sought out an array of birds and mammals. We went to see crab plovers, Indian skimmers, Asiatic lions, the herds of black buck at Velvadar National Park, a harrier roost that sometimes numbers in the hundreds, sometimes even thousands. We looked for striped hyena, for Indian wolf, jungle cat, and also for Indian onager, aka the Indian wild ass. After that, I moved on for another tour to the jungles of central India, famous as a stronghold for tigers. We went to Madhya Pradesh, a large state smack in the middle of India, and had great success in the jungles there, looking for tigers and getting to spend some time with them, and also seeing a host of great Indian birds and other mammals too, including several leopards and sloth bears. We finished with a third tour south of Delhi to fabled Bharatpur, an incredible wetland area full of ducks and shorebirds, lots of herons and other waders, and then made our way also to the Chambal River Sanctuary, which is a cursed river, or so the legend goes, but that means that actually mostly the locals tend to ignore it, and it actually is more full of wildlife as a result. Then we finished up with a visit to the magnificent Taj Mahal, which is really something that has to be seen to be believed. But prior to all of this, I went on a scouting mission. Now, for a guide, there is possibly nothing more fun than going on a trip to scout out an area. Literally, your job is to go someplace that you think is probably really cool, get to know it, learn as much as you can, see the birds, try to collect some imagery, and suss out the logistics, the lodging, the food, figure out where the restrooms are, and just get to know the area, learn an area, talk to the people. And this is a richly rewarding experience, as you can imagine. On this trip, I went to scout the area around Corbett National Park. And Corbett, I discovered, is not only India's first national park, but actually was apparently the first national park designated in all of Asia. It is well known as a place where there are tigers and lots of other birds. And after I spent 5 nights in the area, I had seen quite a lot of birds and some mammals too. In contrast to some of the other areas in India, Corbett was an area I wanted to visit mostly for the birds, trying to see some Western Himalayan endemics and specials, and just to do some Himalayan foothill birding. And it really was a thrill. Now, at the conclusion of my time there, I realized there were some things I would do different. And of course, that's why you scout in the first place, right? Is to suss things out, figure out the best order of operations, and in the end, to polish up a tour that you think will be something that people will just really absolutely love doing. And as much fun as it was an investment of time and money. But thankfully, it was also a lot of fun, and it is a place I am excited to return to. So what you're going to hear here is an unusual array of segments, something that we haven't really done much before. But I recorded a number of segments from basically fresh from the field, just recently back to the hotel, in some cases even walking around still out in the field, describing what we saw. And following my visit to Corbett, I went to Gujarat, which is the westernmost state in India. It is where the current president of India, Modi, is from there. It's where Gandhi was born and raised. It's a fascinating region, a great area for both mammals and birds, as I mentioned. And I detail some of what we saw there at the Little Ron of Kutch and some other areas. When I finish out that section, you'll hear a recording of some demoiselle cranes. I hope you'll find this interesting. And as usual, probably there's a few misspeaks by me and maybe a couple errors. I think we cleaned up most of those. But regardless, I'll be interested to hear what you think. Thanks for listening. It's dawn here, just outside of Corbett National Park. I'm at Jim's Jungle Retreat, where the birds are just starting to call here. It's cold and misty. I arrived here yesterday after about a 6.5 hour drive from Delhi, which was about an hour longer than it probably would have been, except for all the fog. Birds are just starting to get going here. Black drongos are calling, red-whiskered bulbuls. There's some red jungle fowl calling in the distance. It's a little hard to tell if they're wild birds or somebody's that they're keeping. I spent the afternoon here yesterday birding and had a wonderful afternoon just on the grounds, seeing and photographing Asian emerald dove and orange-headed thrushes seem to really like the grounds here, and there's at least, it seems, two hopping around on the trails here. We had about 40 species. We had a pair of Indian scops owls posing beautifully and getting mobbed by a group of about 15, 16 jungle babblers. It's colder than I expected. Luckily, I prepared pretty well for that. In part, thanks because Alvaro was just here and told me that it was chillier winter than they've had here in quite some time. In a couple hours here, we're going to head into Corbett National Park proper. And tonight, we'll be staying at Dikala Game Reserve Ranger Station. And that, I believe, is the top e-bird hotspot in all of India. So, needless to say, I am pretty excited about the next couple days. Scouting here before my tours begin. After this, I've got Gujarat, but for the next few days here, I'm birding Uttarakhand and really trying to get to know a different part of India. Still walking the trails here at the lodge. And I just flushed a chital, small deer, and there are langur monkeys starting to stir and walk the trails. And it's impossible not to notice the large electric fences that have been erected around the property here because, yes, there are larger mammals that one could run into here, including elephants and also large cats, although I'm not sure that the fences would do much for them. There are tigers in numbers here at Corbett, although they're less frequently seen here than some other national parks in India. There's plenty of them. It's just dense habitat. They can be hard to find. And there's also lots of leopards. So anyway, as I'm out strolling the trails solo here at sunrise, definitely thinking about large mammals and that chital, the deer, definitely gave me a little bit of a start. I'm enjoying my first morning here at the Dikala Guest House on the Runganga Reservoir. Here, pretty deep inside Corbett. This is, I believe, the number one e-bird hotspot in all of India. And we just had a nice morning drive. We're about to have breakfast. It's been quite chilly again, and I'm trying to avoid these rhesus macaques, which all seem to think that I have food and are sort of following me around and trying to get into my room periodically. So that has been an interesting experience. But quite a beautiful scene here. The sun's been rising through the mist. Even though it's been quite cold, it's been really misty. But we birded the sal forests, beautiful cathedral-like huge sal trees, you know, some of which must be over 70 feet tall or more. Apparently they live for over 100 years, some of them. That makes up about 70% of the forest here. Yeah, there's smaller numbers of lesser tree, of other trees, including jamun trees, which are fruiting right now and providing some good food for some of the red-breasted parakeets we saw this morning, and lots of plum-headed parakeets and other frugivores. Lots of red-whiskered bulbuls and red-vented bulbuls around. Smaller numbers of Himalayan bulbuls, but probably some of the highlights we saw today included good views of aberrant bush warbler and nice views of gray-bellied tisia. We've been seeing lots and lots of blue whistling thrushes, which are pretty stunning large thrushes. They almost look like a tortoise, like a big American robin in shape and size, but they're bigger, and they look kind of black a lot of the time when you're in the forest, but if you actually get good light on them, they are kind of a deep purplish blue and truly a beautiful bird. Tough bird to get a good image of, however. As I'm looking out on the reservoir here, a gray bush chat just flew in and is enjoying hunting for insects. But yeah, it was a long drive to get in here from where we were staying near Ramnagar. It's about a 30-kilometer drive. Actually, I think it's more like a 30-mile drive, rather, and took us about 2 hours to get here. Once you're here, you're really kind of remote. There is no cell service here, and I think they max out at the guest house here of about 40 guests. And it's a nice sight, but it's a little bit basic. It's you know, kind of no frills, but the birding is good. And as you look out on the reservoir, you can see a lot of Indian elephants in the distance. People have been seeing tiger. We just missed a tiger sighting yesterday. I've been emphasizing the birding more so than the mammals here, because I'm going to be looking for mammals a lot later on. Although I have been glad to see the elephants, because those can be harder to find in Madhya Pradesh, where I'll be later on. So I have enjoyed seeing those. But just before we got to one location, there were three jeeps that had converged and had watched a tiger take and kill a chital, which is a small deer, also called spotted deer. It dragged it back into the jungle and disappeared. And then there was a whole bunch of jeeps waiting around for it to reappear. I don't think it did. Also sort of sad, I mean, definitely sad, and a reminder of how delicate things are. As we left our lodge just outside of Ramnagar to come here into Corbett, I learned that just down the road from where we were staying the night, my first night there before we came here, there's locals that go and gather firewood. They're not really supposed to do this, but people need firework, and they're kind of living at the edge of existence, many of them. So there was a lady with her two children gathering firewood along a dry riverbed just maybe 3 miles from our lodge there, and she was attacked and killed by a tiger. My understanding is her children lived, but from the sounds of it, this is something that happens once or twice a year around this area. And it's just kind of crazy to think. People were a little shaken by it. The locals here that I was talking to, one of the guys I'm working with knew her personally and was just sort of in a state of shock. Anyway, a grim reminder and a sad thing that happens here, apparently. So, anyway, I'm moving on from that. I am going to continue birding here today in the Dikala area. I'm hearing river terns call in the distance, and you might be hearing this large-billed crow that's calling behind me. And, yeah, we're going to keep looking. I'm hoping to find an ibis bill, which is sort of a scarce bird here. Usually there's one or two knocking around. So We're going to try for that and try for some more forest birds, see how it goes. And here are some forest birds, a raucous band of white-crested laughing thrushes. I'll tell you what, I could really go for a beer right now. This is a different kind of place here. I'm sitting here trying to work on my photos after a thrilling day of birding here at Dikkala. I'm sitting here trying to work on my photos. Power goes out. And almost within seconds, my front door to my hotel room here comes flying open. And there's a rhesus macaque sitting there looking at me. And I have to say, I was quite surprised. I screamed at him and he ran away. But I was like looking for a human to be there. And there was, there was a primate, but it wasn't the kind I was expecting. Anyway, here in Dikkala, you know, we are really out in the sticks here. And power's in and out and alcohol is forbidden. So I will not be having my beer tonight, and there's no cell service, so there's no Wi-Fi, and actually there's no meat served at meals here. It's strictly vegetarian, which I don't have a problem with, but I just thought was kind of interesting, and the food's actually been very good, but it has been a thrilling day, and as we're sitting here looking out at lunch on the Runganga Reservoir, you can see hundreds of great cormorants in the distance and about 100 or so river terns flying around and smaller numbers of gray herons and great egrets and little egrets. And what I imagine are probably some cattle egrets out there, although I'm not sure. There's some very distant white herons that are tough to identify. And meanwhile, the fish eagle show has been pretty great. There are lesser fish eagle flying around and they seem to be engaged in some courtship. And the same is certainly true for one of my most wanted birds coming into this trip was Pallas's fish eagle. And we did get to see a pair, at least doing some pair bonding, if not some actual courtship. We were watching a male perched on a snag and a female came in, landed right next to him, and they just started calling at each other. And it was really a spectacular thing to witness. So it's been fun. The Fish Eagle Show has been really great. And yeah, some other highlights from today. Really enjoyed seeing yellow-bellied fairy fantail, which is, I think, a fairly new, I guess the fairy flycatcher family is fairly newly erected. And this was a bird that was thought to be a fantail for a long time, but you look at it and you can tell it's not. It's really got a different structure, and we had several good views of those today, and I think I got some nice photos. At lunchtime, I was just kind of hunting around. You know, I was walking around the grounds here, and in one of like the kind of little backyards of one of the little annexes here, there was a Himalayan ruby throat just feeding right in the open, kind of in this little walled-in yard. And I watched it for some time and eventually kind of crept around to a spot where I could photograph it. And I just sat and watched the thing forage for about 45 minutes. Beautiful Himalayan ruby throat. If any of you have fantasized about seeing Siberian ruby throat in Alaska, this is a close relative and a congener, same genus, but a much more range-restricted bird. It breeds here in the Himalayas and also sort of further north in Central Asia, but a special bird to see and a really good-looking bird as well. So that was nice. We also had another kind of real you know, characteristic bird of this area, which was the black-chinned babbler. We had a few of those really furtive little babbler hanging around in the sort of low understory, staying hidden much of the time, but popped into view a few times. Didn't manage to get any photos of that guy, but still was very cool to see. And we wrapped up the day with three great slaty woodpeckers, which is a bird I've been wanting to see for a long time. You know, and I think it might actually be the largest extant woodpecker in the world. And there were we had a group of three. They're often in little flocks. And we had a group of three, you know, calling and flying around and foraging. And then all of a sudden they took off and went way up into the air, flying across the river here and disappeared out of sight. So that was pretty darn cool. And we had nicer elephants and some big forest flocks today. There was the biggest forest flock we've seen, probably 40 to 50 birds, mostly Philoscopus warblers, leaf warblers, which are notoriously difficult to identify unless you get pretty good views. We've been seeing a lot of gray hooded and whistler warblers, and those two seem to go around together as part of the flocks. So that was cool, seeing a couple big forest flocks. That's kind of one of the things I wanted to see here was these Himalayan forest birds just doing their thing. So got to see some of that. One of the flocks had nice maroon oriole, which is a bird I've been wanting to see for a long time. But yeah, for mammals, we missed barely seeing a tiger with two, with I guess three really like month-old cubs. So that would have been something pretty awesome to see. And but we saw lots of sambar, which are, well, several sambar close, which is a really large deer, very dark, large deer, and lots of chital, the spotted deer, and barking deer, small numbers of them. And we heard them giving their alarm calls a lot, indicating that there were large cats around. We had a nice close golden jackal as well. So I have this, my final night here of two nights, and tomorrow we're heading back to Ramnagar and then back to Delhi, but should get in a nice full morning of birding here in Dikala in Corbett National Park. We'll see how it goes. And here is a recording of that barking deer giving alarm calls as both a tiger and a leopard was spotted nearby. This is the barking deer, also called muntjac. So I finally got that beer. I made it back to Ramnagar and our lodge here, just outside of Ramnagar, at the edge of Corbett National Park here. We returned from Dikala, had a wonderful return drive through the Sal forests, culminating in a visit to a temple right on the Kosi River, where we searched for ibisbill successfully and found a pair. And it was really awesome to see this bird. As a lot of you know, I'm not really a lister. We've talked about this before, but I do love seeing new families. And I'm especially keen on trying to see as many bird families as I can. I'd love to see a member of each bird family in my lifetime. I'm not sure I'll succeed at that, but I think it's a great goal and a fun thing to kind of focus your time when you're traveling a little bit as a birder. And ibisbill has been a big one for a long time for me. It's such a cool looking bird. It occurs in such cool habitats in these rocky, stony mountain creeks in the Himalayas. There's not really that many places that you have a reasonable chance to see it. Bhutan is famously good for ibisbill. But yeah, the northern parts of India, Nepal are good, and even a few other spots as well. I knew we had a chance here, but this isn't the best place really to see ibisbill. Bhutan is probably where most people see it, but it's a fantastic bird, you know. It's this beautiful kind of pearly gray, overall white below, black in the face. It does have a bill like an ibis, and it feeds on invertebrates and small fish in these mountain streams. And so it wades along and, you know, picking at little stuff on the edges of rocks and in the water. And then I guess what I wasn't really expecting was to see it floating like a duck at times. It kind of swims along, kind of reminded me of like a merganser, like a common merganser or something, swimming along a rapid rolling mountain creek. They do like to be near moving water. So it was just awesome. We'd looked for them hard in the Dikala area and not seen them. And then we hit the temple here just outside of Ramnagar, which is a pretty well-known spot for them, but they're just not always there. They're a moderately shy bird that keeps away from people a lot of the time. But this pair was pretty confiding, and I got reasonably close, got wonderful views, and even some decent photographs. But more than anything, it was just great to see them and sort of commune with them for a half hour, 40 minutes or so, before we had to quit for the day. So that was a big one for me, a bird I've always wanted to see, and really a thrill. And yeah, it's a monotypic family, so that's part of the reason it's so special, sort of like yellow-breasted chat or olive warbler. They're the only species in their family, makes them especially sought after for people like me who really want to try to see as many families as possible. And eventually made it back here to the hotel in Ramnagar, got my beer, got my first hot shower in a couple days, back in cell service, started to feel among the living, and then started to feel a little overwhelmed once I looked at my texts and emails and realized that there's a lot to see to. And of course, I took several hundred images while I was there in Dikala. But yeah, it felt good here to kind of reconnect. Got a nice hot shower. It sort of sounded like Darth Vader hissing at me as the hot water came out, but nonetheless, it felt great. And we birded our way out of Dikala. The forests were really, really just alive with birds. And one of the most exciting things to me are these forest flocks of birds. I mentioned before, I think, how there's quite a few of these leaf warblers, Philoscopus, in the genus Philoscopus, which is the leaf warbler family. And there's quite a few members of those. I only saw a few, but you see them and they all look similar. So it's pretty fleeting. These flocks come in, often 40, 60, 70 birds. And then you've got to sort it out as quickly as you can. So, you know, and they're moving and they may disappear at just about any moment. So it was thrilling to encounter these flocks, but also sort of frenetic, you know, often like it is with forest flocks, you got to do what you can while you can. But one of the things that was fascinating and interesting and kind of exciting was that it harkened back to the flocks of birds that I see in the forest back home. The flock leaders are Cinereus tit, which is it's in the chickadee family, and these flocks often have 5 or 12 of these Cinereus tits chattering away, kind of leading the flocks. With them are a couple species of nuthatches, velvet-fronted nuthatch and chestnut-bellied nuthatch. And it's just really cool to see them, you know, again, often half a dozen of them in these flocks, and tree creepers, bar-tailed tree creepers, kind of like our brown creeper back home. So that was really cool. There was also some highlight birds in there, including a white-bellied Erpornis and blue-winged Minla, and Black Lord Tit was cool. Himalayan Black Lord Tit was really cool to see. So that was really just fascinating. There's also a lot of these blue whistling thrushes all through the forest hopping around robin, like I mentioned them before. They're just fun to see. They make some cool sounds, and it's kind of amazing that they're actually in the old world flycatcher family, which I think makes them probably the largest member of that family. They look so thrush-like, it's almost impossible to believe that that's what they are. Another parallel that was interesting to think about is how this place kind of reminds me of Hawaii. Which doesn't make sense on the surface of it, but there are college pheasants all over the place, and red-billed leothrix, and black franklins, and even one or two other birds that are widely introduced in Hawaii that you see here, you know, living as they are supposed to, you know, or originally did in their native range. So that was cool. Anyway, that's about it from here in Corbett, in northern India, in Uttarakhand. I will hopefully detail some of the other stuff and spots that we've got coming up. We'll see. I'm going to be on tour and guiding. This was a scout trip that was a place I hope to come back to in the future. We'll see what happens on these future trips, though. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Hey guys, Molly here. If you're interested in hearing more about George's time in India and the rest of his recordings throughout his birding tour there in January of 2024, then you can check us out on Patreon. We have this episode up in its entirety, and we have more travelogues from myself and George and Alvaro, and listener mail is answered there as well. So thank you for supporting Lifelist. Links are in our show notes, and we'll see you next week with more content.